I am a professional marathon runner, an entrepreneur, and a adult creator of many sorts. I mean, I don't know if you guys want me to give my OnlyFans link. So
go for it. Yeah, go for it. We're not like other running podcasts. We don't have rules.
I love that. Love it.
Are we live?
We're live.
Oh my God.
Hopefully you're watching on Spotify if you want to see the action.
We're hanging out with Tinny. We're in Chris's basement, per usual.
We're inspired. We are inspired to start an OnlyFans because apparently that's how you actually make a living
yeah.
Versus professional running. Professional running is awesome and all, but not as much money there as other creative avenues. So
no, not at all.
So I think, you know what? We got our guy sitting on the couch here next to
us,
Tinny.
Who do you think would make more money on OnlyFans? You, me, or Tinny?
Oh, we should have the people vote. Go on Spotify. I'll put a poll in.
Yeah.
And it's going to be vote for who you would rather subscribe to on OnlyFans.
It is funny, though, because I feel like OnlyFans is kind of like a little... maybe it's just because we talk like between us two and like Dave Malley about like why aren't more runners on OnlyFans?
I don't know.
I mean, when you're probably attractive and in the best shape of your life, you know, probably could make an extra buck.
I can't remember if we talked about this during the discussion or during the, I don't want to call it an interview, but during the episode with her, or if we talked to Ashley about it after the episode finished recording.
We should maybe announce like, you know, like who we did a podcast with. Like
part
of the intro.
We had on Ashley Powers, pro marathoner, but also pro at many other things. Entrepreneur, started a CBD company, Ashley's Powers. You should check that out. I got a link in the description. Also started an OnlyFans for adult content and talks a lot about that on this episode. Yeah. And she does some coaching too. We uncovered.
I feel like
she does a little bit of everything.
If you're looking for an episode that's about running without it really being, you know, too much of, oh, what's your favorite workout? Like this is the episode for you.
This is the episode. Yes. And learning about someone who lives a well-balanced life of, I care a lot about running. It is my number one priority, but in order to be the best I can be at running and also, you know, just enjoy my life, I need to do other things.
I need to have other creative outlets. I need a Frank Sinatra this bitch. I need to do it my way. I feel like we've talked to a couple runners who have said that like having something on the side helps them, not put all their eggs maybe mentally into the singular basket that is running. So
that's right.
I think this is kind of on the same theme of that.
I agree. Oh, and what I was saying was not remembering if this was during the actual discussion or afterwards when we were talking, but yeah, there's this whole, you know, especially as a pro runner, you're representing a shoe brand typically. And there's this whole image, like this image of you need to be a perfect, clean role model. Yeah, and this applies to the beer model too. It's like no alcohol, no nudity, anything. But
like
at the same time, we will put
fake.
You in the skimpiest uniform possible race.
And we definitely talk about that and like how it's okay.
They're trying to make money.
It's
off
okay
of
when
you.
They can make money. Yeah.
They're like, you know, all the big brands are like, oh, wear this skimpy thing and post on social media all the time so that we can make money off of you. But you cannot, you know, take that and monetize your own content.
Right. And I feel like you and I were coming off of like all these discussions for Worlds and trying to get sponsorships, et cetera. And it's been, I mean, we've gotten where we need to get for sure, but like it's been a challenge based on brand image and them not wanting to have alcohol in there. So I feel like we were coming into this interview, we were kind of heated about it and we definitely found common ground.
It was
with
the right time to have this discussion, you know? Yeah. Speaking of Beer Mile Worlds.
Guess what we're drinking?
I love my beer behind the camera.
Boo.
Jeez. Two Brothers, Prairie Path, gluten-free beer. And we didn't even know it was gluten-free when we decided that it would be the best Beer Mile beer. And it is the official beer of the 2023 Beer Mile World Classic. And then we just learned, actually talking to Ashley
like right afterwards,
because she said, I would maybe consider a beer
if it
mile.
Was gluten free, and I was like I'm pretty sure Prairie Path is like,
and it is so man, we were thinking ahead when we selected the best beer mile beer ever, because it truly is literally anyone
gonna
drink
be good
it.
Good for your tummies,
good for your tummy. You'll feel even better afterwards if you're gluten intolerant. So yeah, shout out Two Brothers, shout out Athletic Brewing for being the official non-alcoholic beer sponsor, shout out Tinny, my ride or die right here sitting next to us.
Balanced Gym.
Shout out Balance Gym, another presenting sponsor. Man, we got quite the lineup. And registration is now open.
Oh, God.
Beermile.com/worlds. Go there right now. See all the shit about the event. See a beautiful, beautiful picture of just the official Beer Mile beer can. It's so sexy, sweating. It's just like dripping wet.
It makes me wet. That should have an OnlyFans. Yeah, I would pay for a beer OnlyFans for sure.
Wow. Yeah. Beermile.com/worlds. Go register. Spots are limited. It's literally capped because the venue is capped. And you know, you can only have so many heats at the Beer Mile, so not everyone gets to participate. So if you want to do it, you better sign up now.
Ideally.
And you know what? You're a listener. We'll give you some money off.
Yeah, it will give us...
Beer Mile Pod, all capital letters, all one word. Beer Mile Pod. And you get a discount. So that way we know, you know, were you listening to the pod when you signed up for Beer Mile Worlds?
Are we going to get fucked by like Honey or somebody like that?
Yeah, put the discount code out there and now everyone just gets $5 off.
Well, we'll limit it to the amount of people that we know listen to the podcast.
Like, but that's more than our capacity at the venue.
Yeah, fair. we'll figure out some math.
Okay. Beermile.com/worlds, Beer Mile Pod. When you click through to register, all capitals, all in word. Speaking of Beer Mile Pod, it's also a great code to use for knockaround.com if you want some new shades, 20% off. And if you just drop the pod and just do Beer Mile with no space, that's a great code for manscaped.com. You know, I think if you are looking to start an OnlyFans, you might need to start with Manscaped. And it's a write-off.
It is a write-off
if you have an OnlyFans.
That might be the best ad read we've done. The most practical ad read.
It is. What else do we have to plug?
I mean, we got knock around so much support for Worlds. We got knock around.
Oh yeah. We're going to give away like 50, 100 pairs of shades. Yeah. So basically if you go to Worlds, there's like a 10% chance you're going to get a free pair of shades.
It's awesome.
Which is pretty dope.
Yeah.
And more to come. We'll just keep updating, the site, beermile.com/worlds. That's where you find the latest. And I'm stoked for this, to share this conversation that we had with Ashley with all of you.
I had so much fun.
I say it in the middle of the interview discussion. I keep saying interview. We were hanging out. Yeah, we were hanging out. Yeah. In the middle of the hang, I said, you know, I wasn't even like you prepare, you get ready for a podcast, you prepare topics.
Like,
and there were things that she was saying where I was like, oh, I didn't even like know that about
it. Wasn't
you,
on my radar.
And it's like boom, boom, boom. And there were so many different things.
Like the way that the podcast started, we were like, I was like, okay, like 90% of these things like I know about. And then when we got more like as we get deeper into the podcast, I was like, okay, like this wasn't on any other podcast, but I'm so glad that we like stumbled upon it.
Yep. And I'm not gonna say what it is, but she also talks about, you know, what's the next thing that she already is thinking about potentially starting her next venture in the future. So I think that's it.
Yeah,
let's get into it. Crack a cold one. Stay true, drink a brew. Oh, wait, that's words of wisdom. I'll save that for the outro. Just kidding.
Don't do that till later.
Well, I think we're in the podcast. Welcome, Ashley, to the Beer Mile podcast. We're excited for this one. I think maybe it will be helpful. I'm curious how you would describe yourself or introduce yourself, because I don't want to miss anything that you would think is kind of a key part of who you are. So maybe do you want to introduce yourself for the listeners?
Yeah. So I'm Ashley Powers. I am a professional marathon runner, an entrepreneur, and a adult creator of many sorts. That's the best way to describe myself.
Man, where should we dive in first? I think we got to hear a little bit about the running side of things to maybe kick things off. So you're an Olympic trials qualifier in the marathon. You've been a runner for most of your life. Maybe let's start with the present though. Like what is running in your life currently? Like you said, entrepreneur, there's other things you're doing as well. So is running still a key focus for you? You training with the focus of qualifying for the Olympic trials and racing the Olympic trials again? Like where are you at in your running journey?
So running is the center of my life. So everything I do is to circle back to running. I'm fully self-supported. I love that. I love the freedom, which is why I love marathons. And I basically structure everything to circle back to my training and support it. So yes, marathon running is the centerpiece. I love running, and my whole life, my identity was trapped in running. And that's not something I always wanted to just be, because that's what everyone put on me. So I broke off into these various projects. I have a CBD company, which was inspired through my own injuries and recovering from that. Then I wanted a creative outlet, and I was interested in getting into content creation, but more of on the erotic and fun side. And yeah, so that's a big thing. Marathon running is my passion. I don't know what I'd do without it. And it's been the centerpiece of my life, the most stable thing in my life, despite setbacks that put me behind, I guess you could say, but I think everything happens at the right time. And it's taken a lot of maturity, development, mentally, physically, to get me where I am today.
I love that. I think a lot of runners we talk to on this show, it's very common that, yeah, you get running becomes your identity. And then when you're hurt or whatever, basically your life is on pause as you sort that out. So it's awesome to hear that you've, I guess, kind of have, you know, maybe discovered that. And then now you do have these other outlets where you put your time and energy so that you are more balanced and not solely a runner as your sole focus. Although you take it super seriously, you have other outlets as well. So that's awesome to hear.
Yeah, it definitely is. And to be honest, every runner's posting running content.
Exactly. Exactly. How many times can you take a picture of you on the track and, you know, say, oh, I hit whatever X split for my rep? I mean, it all gets to be the same after a while.
Exactly. And I mean, warm up drills, the tips, you know, I leave that to those people who want that content. I find it not that exciting, but I love running. I just don't feel like really sharing that.
Yeah, I feel like most of our listeners would probably agree with, like, I don't know, it just gets very repetitive. So I guess maybe to that point, like, how do you kind of like keep it original with your, it's hard to call them, you know, side projects or ventures, because that I feel like they're very successful. So in other aspects of your professional career, how do you keep things original and more true to your own message, I would say?
Yes. And that took a long time to get where I am, because I kept wanting to be the runner everyone wanted me to be. And it sucked. I'm sorry. It was pretty miserable. I trained with some runners, some, you know, Olympians, and I felt trapped that I had to placate to them. And it wasn't true to me. So I just... that was a really hard part, because a lot of my following was runners. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't that support when I deviated from running. And I took the dive. I didn't want to post. I wasn't inspired. And I was like, I'm going to do what makes me happy, what's exciting for me, and take that risk. It filtered out people that have no interest in who I am. And it brought in a ton more people who really are interested in me.
Exactly. So. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to show your true unique self, and authentic self to get the true following, of the people that are right for you. So that makes total sense.
Maybe that's a good time to just dive in, kind of maybe where you see at least yourself and your own personal timeline, where you kind of diverge from, you know, running in its purest, you know, I'm gonna post about warm-ups, etc., to kind of creating your own personal brand.
Yeah, so with running, my focus is getting the Olympic standard, not just the qualifier. I know I could get the 237. CIM, I was injured recovering from long COVID, and I missed it by 34 seconds due to malfunctions. Yep. I wasn't even going to race. My coach and I were just throwing it up in the air. And I was like, I forgot to drop out. I already got everything in order. Might as well just go and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yep. And The funny thing is I've only PR'd injured and with horrible training cycles. So that to me is extremely exciting. After Boston, I sat down. Well, so after Boston, when I finished the race, I was in the pro field, which was an honor because it was the 50th anniversary of women racing. It was the deepest field in the women's race history. And I was dealing with the injury that kind of I'm recovering from still. But I made sure to toe the line. And after, I had the privilege of speaking with one of the doctors who's very respected. I wish I could remember his name. And he explained what was wrong with my mechanics and told me I need to go see a specialist that can help me with that, because he felt that the way my form was, it was limiting me in the hills. So I took time off from running and decided to completely reset, got a whole team of, I guess, support staff, mm-hmm. got into this lab and got all buckled up and did a full analysis, then started working from there on relearning how to run and do things right. So that's kind of where I started fresh. And of course, I went to, every summer I go to Vermont and back east, do a little vacation. I have an uncle that lives in Vermont, and there happened to be the Mad River Hash. Mm-hmm. My uncle doesn't know much about running, but he suggested I should do it. And I was coming off a break and I thought, why not? So my coach said, sure, but don't race it. Just get a training run. Well, I end up calling Nike. I end up calling all these places to send me shoes because I didn't have my racers. They wanted me to go down to New York or Boston. Those were the closest locations. So I just got a pair of Hokas and ended up setting the course record. And on that, it was about a 12 for the half marathon. It was a 1200 foot elevation gain. Wow. On dirt. I had not done a single workout. And that actually re-injured my whole leg and put me.
Oh no.
God.
Oh. But it was exciting, and seeing the pride in my uncle, everyone there was exciting. It was worth it in a way. But of course, when reality hit and I got back into the reality of what I have to do, it was very frustrating.
Yeah, man, that's brutal for sure. But at least like reignites the motivation and the sense of like, I'm meant to do this. I'm capable of doing this, all of that side of it too. Yes. I want to dive into, starting your company, CBD and all of that. Yeah, I think we listened to Adam, and I actually listened to a couple of the podcasts you did a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. To prep for this. And so it sounds like you really just started it as making a product for yourself that you wanted to use and then grew it from there. So I'm curious on the origin of it. Are you literally like in your kitchen throwing some ingredients together, like this tastes good, this doesn't taste good, and just going about it that way? Or like how did this actually go from like, I'm creating something for myself to, oh, this is like a business now and I have to produce this thing?
It's funny. It really was me trying to figure out how to get all my supplements in. As you probably heard me share in one of the podcasts, I had turned to CBD when I left the team at UCLA, which I had left about the last quarter. So mm-hmm. I wanted to explore options of what can I do to get me back on track. I heard the whispers of CBD and I started taking CBD, started taking collagen, spirulina. And it was so difficult getting all of this. You have a 15-minute window after you're done training to get in your nutrients for maximum absorption.
Yep.
And I had to figure out a way to get all that, because putting in a shake was disgusting. It would, float. I travel for most of my runs. And I figured, why don't I make a little bar? So I put together a bar. It was, cut up, made it at home. I really enjoyed it. I started bringing it to people I'd run with. At the time I was working at a corporate office. I brought it there and people wanted to buy it off me.
Yeah.
And there was a little light bulb that this is something I could do and I can bring attention to CBD, its benefits, and take away the stigma. I'm kind of alternative. I do my thing. And that was one of my projects. So it started with one bar, which was Dark Chocolate Magic. And while I was at that job, I started building the company, branding it with my fiance, and I designed the packaging, did everything. And then we had that one product for about a year. And then I started going in the kitchen and just mixing things together. And then before I knew it, I had three other bars. And I also turned to a salve because that's something I use a lot. So I created a salve, which is pain eraser. And then my tinctures, Calm Me Maybe. Those were real game changers, and I have fun with the names.
I love it.
Yes. So that was the origin. And then the first store to carry it was this cute country store in Vermont, Warren Store. And it kind of went from there.
Wow. So you have stores, what's your presence like in retail? Like, is it national, specific states? And then I'm curious too, what the balance is, like how much of your business are you doing online versus in those retail locations?
After COVID, I went purely online, mostly to keep the pricing affordable. CBD is expensive. Right. The products I use are the highest quality, and it just doesn't make sense for me to sell a bar for $6.99, which is what I would have to do being a smaller business. And when COVID hit, I was actually working on a deal with Air One. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with Air One. They're from Chicago originally, but they're an LA health store. Then everything shut down and I saw a lot of opportunity with online. So I've turned completely online and it's been the greatest thing doing that.
Excellent. And what sort of scale can you share anything on, like, you know, are you still making, how are the bars being made today? Do you have like a manufacturing partner for that, a co-packer? And then, yeah, like what sort of scale, like how many bars are we selling a year at this point? How's the business grown over time?
So right now the bars are really hard to keep up with because they sell out way too fast.
That's a good problem to have.
And I do have a kitchen. I have a couple staff that makes it. It's in an industrial kitchen that I rent space in. And it's just been so difficult to keep up with production, with the demand. So I focus mostly on Pain Eraser right now and Calm Me Maybe, because those I already have made. I have a big, a huge mixer that I put to make. It's really funny. I have videos of me making Pain Eraser in this big mixer that heats up. The bars are amazing. And the biggest thing is having to scale up, finding the time to do that. And I've been talking to manufacturers actually in Chicago. That's where a lot of bar manufacturers are. So,
yeah. So is that the plan then? Is that the goal to... As I know that would probably take a big investment. Like you'd really be betting on yourself to go that next level of production. But then is that what you want to do? Do you see this thing continuing to grow and being distributed and more widely? And I'm assuming that's in the plans.
Yes, that is in the plans. My biggest, my biggest hurdle right now is trust, because it is CBD. Yeah. I want to make sure I find the right person that's not going to affect my reputation. It has my name on it. And right. I don't want to do anything wrong or a manufacturer cutting corners. The one I've been talking to, they're not turnkey. So I would have to provide everything. How do I know they're not going to use my product for other people to help their margins? Because it's in Chicago. Yep. That's been the biggest obstacle. A place that I want in California. California doesn't like CBD in food. And there's this bar manufacturer here that I've been in talks with. I almost went the non-CBD route, but there's just no point. My non-CBD isn't what people want.
Right.
And so that's been the big obstacle, finding someone I can trust and maybe something that's closer where I can be there to make sure everything's going correctly.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think over the last year is at least my perception, you know, since you started this company, is that CBD is more, it's way less, you know, stigmatized, like very commonplace. Yeah. It's almost like it went from maybe stigmatized to now the point where everyone kind of like, at least people I'm around, they kind of agree like, yeah, CBD is very helpful. It is, you know, healthy to have it. And so I think you are in a good spot, at least my perspective of like, this is the right, you're in a growing market and you have a solid product, and now I'm going to buy some and try it, but you have a solid product. I mean, it seems like this is something that really could become something huge, but it totally makes sense on making sure that you trust the partner that you're going to be, you know, telling all your secrets to basically, and showing them under the hood.
Exactly. Because I created every single bar. Last thing I need is them helping others. You know, there's so many things.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I'm in no rush. I know that it's going to get where I want it to be. It's a matter of time. So
yep.
I'm happy. I love it. It's my little baby.
Yeah. I'm curious around the stigma, like, and I guess like sort of legalities and food safety, et cetera. Like, it's obviously come a far way, CBD specifically. Are there any kind of like holdouts in terms of, like you mentioned, California is not very friendly with like mixing food in CBD. Are there other aspects, whether legal or not, that are still like kind of a pain in the ass today?
Yes. The testing is, I think it's great, but when I get my CBD product, it's already tested. Mm-hmm. It's already tested that the company I go to is reputable. They're in Colorado. They're one of the biggest CBD suppliers, but then I'm required to test everything all over again. If I'm making a small batch of the bars, each batch needs to be tested, which only increases the cost.
Right.
That is something that I find unfortunate, but you just don't know if someone's making their CBD in a garage. I think we're past that point, but when I was entering the market, my company officially started in 2019, but I was preparing all of 2018. There were people trying to sell me CBD from their garage. And that's so cowboy. But that's the biggest obstacle. I do think there's a better way to go about it. And it really hurts a lot of smaller CBD brands.
Definitely. So it's not just a sample of like, you're saying you're running a line of however many units, there's like a sample. It's every single batch you have to test. Mm-hmm. That's wild. Have you measured like how much that impacts your bottom line?
Oh, with the that's
gotta be
that's
a lot.
Part of the reasons I had to, when COVID hit and I went online, because originally when I was smaller, my bars had to sell for $9.99, and I'm a smaller company, stores want to take 50%. So how am I going to make the money? So there's all these areas where it just wasn't making sense. And I'm not trying to hike up my price, which a lot of CBD companies do that. I want it to be accessible. I'm making a bar and I don't want my bar to be $9.
Exactly.
For me, $3.99, $3.50, that makes the most sense. But if I'm selling to a store and they're wanting $150, that's not going to do it for me because of the scale I have to produce. So yes, the testing is expensive, and I like to do a full test of everything, because if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right and thorough.
Yeah. Man, that's wild. So, and it's just interesting. So you're in like, clearly in deep with this business now. You're training for marathons, which is, you know, the toughest of events to train for, because it leaves you pretty fatigued all the time, as well as you're just spending a lot of time out running. So then how do we introduce then, like, on top of that, then you are what's the introduction into creating erotic content too? And then, yeah, like, what is, I want to know more, like, what your typical day makeup is. How do you split your time? Is it like, I wake up and I run, and then it's X hours on CBD, and I just want to unpack your day a little bit more, because you are doing a lot. I think your site said you even do some coaching too? I thought your site maybe said that. So like,
yes.
Wow.
I love keeping my calendar full. The coaching is definitely something that, so I used to do in person. I've completely switched to virtual because during my Boston buildup, I run with my clients.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was making my, what was supposed to be 90 mile weeks, which was a high for me. I'm a low mileage runner for Chicago. My debut, I ran like 60, 70 miles.
Wow. Yeah. Yep.
And so for me moving up to 90, and then I had started my coaching in person, I was doing 110 mile weeks, and that caused a T-ban. I still have certain people that I do in person because they've been with me since the beginning of that. But I've switched to virtual. And that was something that I started just to supplement my whole brand to make it more of a wellness centered. And it's remained a passion project. I love helping others. I love inspiring. And it's just fulfilling.
Yeah, definitely.
So a typical day for me is jam-packed. I do have a team. When it comes to my content creation, that side of the business, I have a production team. I have hair and makeup. I go pretty deep. My fiance is a film director. He's done some incredible features and worked with well-known stars. So we do things very different from what people expect.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
It's an art form. So for me, it's an art form, and we do a full production. We shoot with Red cameras. If you're familiar with Red.
I actually am. And yeah. So we're I'm a little bit of a film nerd. But so yeah, that I can geek out about that a little bit. that's impressive. Okay. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so he's, maybe you've known his movies. We could talk about that later. I have a lot of that in the support side. That helps where I'm up in the morning and I'll go for my run, or I'll run people that see my Strava, I have to be honest, or I'll be running at 3 a.m. It really, I prefer the late night. I'll jump on my treadmill sometimes and run from 1 to 3 a.m. It builds.
That's wild.
It is, and it's how I function. So I try my best to do it in the morning. Now that it's getting warmer, I'm feeling better about that. So I'll get my run in, and then if it's a CBD day, I'll do a few hours in the morning where I'm working and focusing on the business side of things. And then I make sure it's no more than 2 hours. That gives a lot of time for setup. I shoot content, specifically deep content, Mondays, today, Wednesdays, Fridays. So those are the days where I have a crew setting things up while I'm doing that and then getting me ready. Then we'll do shooting of various kinds. Maybe we'll try to get more than one project in for the day, one production. After that, I have a home gym. So I'll go into my gym and I'll do my cross training, which I'm getting back into, or lifting depending on the day. And I work 7 days a week. I count running as work. I do work from the minute I wake up till I'm trying to get better at sleeping, but sometimes it's a 3 a.m. bedtime.
What's the latest you've ever worked out?
Finishing at 4. That was actually this weekend. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
That's wild. That's wild.
Yes, I'm getting better at the sleep.
Jeez. Yeah. That's, I mean, in a way, I guess you're working constantly. So like, obviously like huge level of dedication, kudos, but I think maybe what's helpful would be that it is on a bunch of different things. So you're not like getting so tired of doing the same thing, at least, you know, you're getting to switch and have different creative outlets. So maybe that helps, I guess. At least that'd be my guess. Is that kind of how you see it? Of it's all a balance of you like to have a piece of each of those things be part of your day, versus if you were like all in on one thing, maybe that would be too much where you would get burned out on that one thing.
Yes. And that was I realized that was a big problem my freshman year of college. I got a full scholarship to SMU and I wasn't allowed to work. I wasn't allowed to do anything outside training, and that drove me batty. I begged if I could get a job, and it was very difficult for me to just do running in school all day. So when I left SMU and went to UCLA, they don't give that much money to distance runners. So I got, you know, a decent amount, but I accepted financial aid and you can't do both. So mm-hmm. I had a job and I was basically doing practice class right after class, going to my job, getting off my job sometimes at 11, getting home, trying to get in studying, going to bed. So I'm used to that. And I thrive in that environment. I was injured while at UCLA, so I wasn't doing so much of running. I was in the athletic training room, but that's where I feel the most fulfilled.
Yeah.
So when you're focusing on like one aspect, you like you mentioned shooting, you try to maybe do like multiple projects at once. Is there ever a time where it's like, I'm doing too many things in this given hour, or is it always just like, it keeps it fresh for you?
Well, sometimes I'll fuse my training with my shooting. So,
Oh, right. Sure.
So that actually helps a lot. If I'm doing like stretching, that's a big thing. TikTok Live is something I do regularly, and that's almost every evening. And I do my stretch and chats. That's something people look forward to. And I sit there, I'll talk about my training or life, and I'll do my stretching core. So I kind of use to make it all come together, because at the end of the day, all of this, I have to support my running, because
yeah,
I like living life a certain way. And
yep. It's tough for run. I mean, running as a profession is super tough, because unless you really are like, you know, winning US titles and right. making worlds teams and stuff, there really isn't a ton of money in the sport for, unless you're the top tier. So most really good runners still have to supplement with something, with a side hustle, with a monotonous job, if that's, you know, what allows you to keep your mental energy all for running, like whatever it is, that's very common. And so the fact that you found yes. something for that, I mean, that you actually enjoy doing, that's your own thing that you own and get to, you know, be your own boss. I mean, that's huge. Yes. And just makes that much less pressure on the running, so that you can truly do it as an enjoyment piece of your life, instead of, I have to do well in this race, otherwise like I will be broke. Basically it's a little bit different stakes
exactly.
on it.
Exactly. And I have talked with sponsors in the past. It just didn't make sense to me to sell my freedom mm-hmm. for what they're willing to buy it for. It just didn't make sense to me. There's brands that I have relationships with that will send me product if I ask them to, like Puma for Boston. They had sent me the Faster before they had released it. I was supposed to race in the Faster. I love them. They are amazing. I did a TikTok comparing them to the Alpha Flies, but they would make my feet numb. And if I were with Puma, I would have had to run in those.
Right.
And I had the freedom to say, I thank you so much. These shoes are amazing. I even made, without them asking, I made a whole comparison. But this race means too much to me. And these make my feet numb. I think it's unique to me. That happens with a lot of shoes, but I went with my Alpha Flies last minute. They were very accommodating at Boston, because I let her know I can't decide what I'm going to use, because we had to turn in a form. And so I went with the Nikes, and that mm-hmm. is something I value, having that freedom to say, I love this brand. This brand is amazing, but I like this from, and that was a big thing when talking with sponsors, where you have to run things through them. They have control over everything. And a lot of people will just sign so they could say they're pro. Okay. You get gear and you're pro. I don't need that. So.
Exactly. So now I'm wondering, you know, you, with all the different kind of things you have going on, like, where do you see, like, what are maybe some of your goals, or like, where do you see yourself in, you know, 5 years from now or 10 years from now? Like, in where do you see like the most success potentially coming? Like, is it on the content side? Is it the CBD company? Like, or is it still just a combination of, you want to have them all still going, you know, a decade from now?
Well, I do believe that the CBD has the ability to be self-sufficient, hire a general manager. So that's not going anywhere. For me, I love the content. I don't know if 10 years from now, I'll still be doing that, because I get other opportunities all the time. I've kind of explored modeling. I was supposed to do a shoot with Aloe, and then they saw my content, and that wasn't very them. Oh,
really?
They didn't jive with their brand?
Really?
Because they were marketing to the whole country, and the Midwest is probably not. And I'm like, half of my supporters are from the Midwest.
And that's the thing. Like, I mean, because we talked about CBD, you know, the stigma around it and how that's gone over time. I mean, it seems like you're just a person who's willing to just like take something head on, you know, because even on the content side, it's that same thing of, there's a stigma around it, but it's like, why? Because like, clearly there's demand for it. So like, why is there the stigma around it? And it's just, it's one of those things that I think needs to evolve and like have people like yourself that actually push people's boundaries, and like, not everything needs to be taboo and like hush hush, you know?
So it's because I'm profiting. That's the problem. Yeah. If you go on the body issue for Sports Illustrated, it's amazing.
Right. Exactly.
If I'm doing a similar thing, but I'm making money off it, how dare I? And but Sports Illustrated is making a lot of money, and the girls going on there probably aren't getting that much for it, because it's a promo opportunity. And that's where I find it very interesting. And that's why I don't shy away from it, because it's okay for a female athlete to be profited off. You know, there's the sexiest athlete forums. There's all these things about how beautiful athletes are, but the minute they want to profit on themselves, shame on them.
Right.
Like if Emma Coburn started an OnlyFans tomorrow, the world would be like up in arms about it. Yeah. But
she was on the body issue, and that was a beautiful issue. That's the only one I ever saw, and it was amazing seeing her on there. So that's where I find it really funny, because it's an art form for me. Yes, you know, there's adult creators that are doing what they love to do, what they express themselves with. And I'm doing something that is on a scale where I'm recreating Eyes Wide Shut. I'm doing, if you guys are familiar with that movie, I do a lot of things like that. And I picked up acting. It's fun. But when we go back to where I see myself in 5 or 10 years, I do believe I have the talent to get me to where I want with running. I have my eyes. I'm trying to get the standard for this Olympics. That's a personal thing. My biggest goal is, I really, because 2028 is in Los Angeles, I want to be a contender there. I do believe I have what it takes. I've done it before. And my freshman year of college, I was the number one freshman in the country. I'm not sure if you guys looked at my running stats, but that was no mistake. I know what it takes. I've done the work. It's about me committing. And I'm at that point where I'm able to. I created a path for myself. My fans support me. So I get to put those resources to get me where I want to be. And the biggest thing has been staying healthy, and I've been attacking that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of runners would absolutely kill to be in the position you're in, because you have set up that part of your life that, like you said, there is a way to take what you've built there and almost, you know, through like a general manager, through others, you know, you've built the system there. So like it's there to support you. And then you can, when you want to, shift your focus onto running and know that you're still going to have those items to go back to. They're still going to grow. And you're going to have that part of your life too. So I think that's a headspace that is good to be in versus, what some other of the competitors would be in of, like, this is do or die. Like, my life is all hinged on this, and that level of pressure and stress just can eat away at you quite quickly.
And I was there at one point. It was actually Ali Kiefer who changed it for me. I did the circuit, the USATF circuit, and we were at one of the races, and, you know, I don't really follow her career now. She's more of a person I'd hang out with at those events.
Yeah.
She had told me that the greatest thing for her had been going unsponsored and supporting her own running. And that's, for her, she can thrive mentally. That spoke so much to me, because during that period, I was talking with sponsors and they were telling me what I need to do. And it put so much pressure on me versus now I get to choose when I want to race. I get to do what I want. And I'm thriving with even having setbacks.
Yeah.
So that's, that took a lot off. I'm running because I love it. I love competing. And I just want to get back to where I know I'm supposed to be based on what I have accomplished.
Definitely. Yeah. And with the marathon too, you know, so many runners right now are proving that you can be great at the marathon into your late 30s, 40 years old even. And especially someone like yourself who hasn't been doing 100 miles a week every single year, you know, you do have, I think you have a lot more longevity there, and plenty of years to continue to get faster. So that's awesome. It's going to be fun to watch. Excited to see that piece of it. So,
yeah.
So I want to know now a little bit more now on the, you know, mentioned your fiance on the film side and whatnot. Like, I'm curious, how did you two, I don't know, maybe even if you want to, like, how did you two meet and, like, how did you decide to like work together also on this creative side? You know, and he's dedicating time to you for that piece of it as well. Like, how did that all start?
Well, it's very, very funny. I actually worked for him when I was in college, and it was completely platonic. I was nanning for his family. And when I actually was very close with his wife, who's a very well-known actress. And when I had graduated college, I had to move back to Newport. That's where my team is. I wanted to be with my team, and I just wanted time to focus on training, which would have meant I don't have money.
Right.
So when I had left, I started my new life. And then I guess several months later, they separated, and she actually asked me to help her move out. And last minute, she asked if I could help him watch their son. And a friendship developed there, because I always saw him differently. I was a little afraid of him. Mm-hmm. So seeing this tender, nice person, I started helping on weekends to make extra money in his office. And over time, that developed into more than just a friendship. So that's where that started about a little over six years ago. And he's been in the film business for a long time. He did a lot of commercials as well. And those were the areas that I was learning in the background as we were together, and he really did believe in me when not many people did. So my coach and him have always been my backbone, and that's where that drive to continue with running and go after it. And it took many years, but I started seeing the progress coming again. So that's where we kind of were. Then Ashley's Powers came to be, and I always had an interest in more of adult stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. You just have that. It's cool. And especially when COVID hit and I heard about OnlyFans, that was when I first heard about it. I was blown away. I would watch, I think there was like a Netflix on it, and I would just stretch after my runs and take it all in. It seems like this amazing world. Well, his he has a house that is rented out to someone who does OnlyFans parties, and I was introduced to some massive creators in that world, and it put this bug in me where I started kind of putting the seed where this is something I think I really want to do. It seems like a great creative outlet. I've never acted, but I think it would be fun. And it just kind of fell into place where he was doing, we were working on other projects film wise. He was in production of a documentary and another movie. Things just started moving in that direction, and we started having fun with creating these videos, and some are very much tongue in cheek. So, so it's great. We'll laugh because people won't will think that there's something more dark or crass happening. And it's like, no, that's my teddy bear with a wig. So it's very funny, but you know, I think it's great that people have these other ideas of what's going on. And I'm like, great. I mean, if you watch that video, you won't know that it's a teddy bear then. But that's kind of where it went. And it started out very, I guess we didn't know what we were doing. And then we turned into this full blown production with a whole crew and everything. I do think it's groundbreaking. It's very different from what other creators do. My fans are always going on about that. So I take a lot of pride in that. But that's kind of where we went from me working for him to where we are today.
Got it. That's like a perfect example of just like, serendipity, you know, just one, you know, leaving almost like just being open to exploring, you know, and trying new things and exploring whatever is like put in front of you, and kind of letting serendipity guide the way. And like, now you're doing something that you know, didn't even know like the world, you know, a little bit of right place, right time, but like, you didn't even know that world existed. And now it's like, oh, this is something that's so fulfilling and that I enjoy doing and making a living off of too. It's wild to hear how people get to where they are, you know?
And, you know, I guess the best thing is what people's minds believe, you know, controversy. So it's great when I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I worked for my fiance when I was in college, and people are like,
of course.
I'm like, sure, believe what you want, but it's actually the other side. And I love that because it creates a buzz. So it's like, oh, if people think that something's going, I mean, it's still erotic. I'm still doing things that no athlete, because there's another athlete on track athlete on OnlyFans, and I'm not sure what really she does. I've heard. But, you know, I push the envelope, but for me, it's beautiful. It's art. Anything that does not seem artistic, there's no point to me. So that's been a big part of that. And you get the occasional, very rarely, angry person who wanted something. And I'm like, guess what? There's a million others. Bye. You'll be back. And they do. They come back.
So is that where you're? Go ahead, Adam. Go ahead.
You mentioned pushback from Aloe. Have you had any other pushbacks from brand collaborations because of any of the? I mean, even I could see, you know, once upon a time working with CBD could be considered controversial. But have you had any other pushback from brands?
I actually have a few that have been reaching out to me, which is surprising. And then I have a business relationship with a photographer who just said, hey, next time I have a project, just take your link down. I'm like, okay. So I haven't really experienced any more of that. With Allo, it was kind of a shock, but it was really their loss.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, it's almost like you, once you get to be so big, I feel like then it's like those brands will just take it for what it is and like not be particular about like this, that, or the other about your personal brand, because it is the whole brand, so to speak.
Exactly.
And there's, you know, Paige Spirinac. Is that how you say her name? Paige Renee. She's the golf lady. I love her. And like, she's doing great things and it doesn't affect her ability. She has only Paige now and stuff like that. So I know times will catch up, and I like being the person that paves the way.
Absolutely.
Are there other aspects of like your personal identity that have yet to kind of make it into this like public persona that is Ashley Powers that may be in the next couple of years?
Ooh, what do you mean by that?
Like if there's, because I feel like you have this just like this innate ability to just turn things that you just enjoy doing day to day into like something that can be monetized and something that's part of your public facing brand. Are there things that you find yourself doing that you're like, oh, actually, like I should make a video about doing this, or I should productize it or monetize it in some separate area that you haven't before?
Yes, I really am interested in YouTube, and those are things that I want to kind of break into. But honestly, my biggest goal aside from my running goals is to buy properties. I'm really into mobile home parks. And that's really the end goal, is buying mobile home parks and getting to train and enjoy life.
Man, God, you got everything. You're like manufacturing food to to content creation to now real estate. Okay. This is great.
I think it's because where I come from nothing. And it was my mom moving us to Newport Beach into a mobile home park that put me where I am today. And she's not very supportive about things. But that was something that defined my life. So for me, I think there's meaning behind buying up mobile home parks because that's where I kind of, in Newport Beach, it was like on the ocean front basically. So it's not horrible, but it still was, you're not the richest person in Newport Beach. You're far from it. And everyone's very, very wealthy there. So, you know, it'll be great to go full circle, but I guess I always am looking for an opportunity to, and they say, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And it really does feel that way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's absolute need for that. And that's not something that everyone else is doing. And I think that's a big part of it too. If you're always doing something that's unique, that if you're not just following the herd, if you're doing something that's unique and you actually enjoy doing it, I mean, you're probably going to win at doing it, because you'll commit the time and energy that you need to succeed. So that's, It makes total sense as you say it. But yeah, when you like start at the beginning and you're like, okay, you 5 years from now, you're going to be doing this, this, and this, and this. You're like, whoa, what's the path to get there? But then when you go back and like 2020 vision, look back at how you got there, like, oh, that actually, okay, that checks out. That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Exactly. And my thing is, if it's not supporting my training, it's not something I want to be doing. So as soon as something gets in the way, and that, I will say, there was, while I was in pain with running the chunk of last year, when going out for a run doesn't feel good, I found myself not wanting to go out there. And I had to take a step back and say, what am I doing this for? What's the main goal? If, you know, you get caught up in the creation side, it's so exciting. And I took a step back and put my priorities out, went from there, and anything that gets in the way of my training is something that has to be eliminated.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Looking back, one thing I wanted to ask about, and it kind of ties into that, you know, looking back at some of your like latest Instagram posts, it seems like you travel at least a decent amount. Is that like mostly for the content side? And it's funny because you were in Vegas somewhat recently, actually at the same time as Adam had his bachelor party in Vegas. And I think we might've even been there the same days, which is funny. But like when you're traveling, in the training side of it, you know, running and running in different places, like not many people would think of, you know, LA or like Vegas. Like these are all like not great places for running or what most people would think. So, like when you're traveling, how are you still making sure that you're getting the training that you need in these like new environments that maybe aren't set up perfectly for training?
Yes. So with Vegas, that's a lot of the time. That's my right before I hunker down and get serious in training. I go to Vegas. I was going to the Cosmo, but I got banned for life. We won't go into that. It's nothing bad. You would think it was something bad. I was shooting content, doing a walk through the casino. And there were, you know, you put up with catcalling. I'm wearing a beautiful outfit, it was, you know, white, a pink top and a long skirt that's open, very long to the ground. But these guys decided to heckle and not stop. Security approached us for recording. And I said, okay, well, what about those guys? And they didn't care. So as I was walking back, I was really nervous because those guys, they went to the other side and continued. So I turned to the security. I said, are you going to do anything? And they just looked at me like, So I went to the front office and I asked to put a complaint, and they decided to ban me as a result.
What
the fuck?
What?
Those guys must have, they must have blown like 50K at a blackjack table. And they're like, well, like we got to keep those degens here.
It was 3 a.m. So I'm shooting because it's empty. 3 a.m. Right. Those guys are gone. The big thing was because I wouldn't let my fiance turn the camera off, but it was on me. So the security had a power trip. And the minute he started reading the trespassing, which I was staying there, and we were actually invited by MGM, which owned them.
Yeah.
That became a power trip thing. And then he had to finish because it's all about power there.
Yeah.
So it became this huge issue. I went to the front to complain and ask to check out. So it was like, wait, I want to check out.
But you're trespassing. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And now they're trying to clean up. MGM has been talking with my fiance, but they're trying to keep me from posting all the stuff that I filmed of that.
Okay.
So normally I go to Vegas right before training. We went because with content creation, it does make more sense to change up the scene, change things up. And especially if I'm going to have a specific storyline, which the funny thing is that one was, we were kind of angling towards like the escort. And I guess it was accomplished because people thought that that's where I was. And I think they were shocked to find out that that's my fiance. And you guys really are. So mission accomplished in that regard. But that was the motivation to there. Like, I don't drink in the middle of my training. So it wasn't like a usual Vegas trip, which I mean, my partying days are, those were left in college anyways. But travel is, it's a great opportunity to change things up. As I said, I go to Vermont every summer, then I'll go to Martha's Vineyard or Boston, New York. And I find ways to make it work. This time around when I was in Vegas, I did have to train. I go on their treadmill. I don't like running outside. I've been invited by people on the team, but I just, my time is so tight that going to the gym and back is what I do. So always make sure I'm planning something, and the focus is always around my training, where I'll have, if it's somewhere I'm not comfortable with, my fiance will hop on a bike and he'll just make an opportunity to shoot content. So.
Got it. That makes sense. I think a good, maybe a kind of closing question from me, and maybe Adam, you should think of one too. We've asked a few people this, but I always like hearing the answer. So if you could have a sponsorship or partnership with any brand out there, what would that brand be? And we're not talking just running, you know, we're talking like just who would be backing you just in your personal brand, you know, in general. Could be whatever, Ferrari, or, you know, who's your dream partnership where you would just say like, yes, I would definitely do that.
Burberry. If it had to be running, that was going to be tough because I'd be stuck between Nike and Puma, though Nike might be more the smart marketing angle because they like the Bandit. But
yeah,
I'll hold out for Burberry. Because, you know, Alicia, is that her name? Alicia, she's with Boss. I'll be Burberry.
Perfect. Perfect.
need a Burberry like racing kit for marathon trials.
Yeah.
Yes. That would be amazing. I'll have to get my team to reach out to them.
So as somebody who has had, you know, you've dealt with injury, especially in college, if you could go back to maybe like as you're transferring from SMU to UCLA, what advice would you give yourself then, knowing obviously what you know now?
I would have given myself, I mean, if I had already transferred, because if I could go back, I would have just stuck out maybe another year at SMU, though I had some things that took me away from there that was very negative. If I'm already at UCLA, I would have told myself to not just give in after I was able to run. The doctors, which SMU did not have, would do random tests on my shins. So, and that hurts when you have shin pain and they press on it. So I'd flinch. Mm. I would try to hide it. It was self-defeating. So I just was like, well, they're not going to approve me. So might as well just hang out with all the other athletes. And that athlete life is amazing in terms of the nightlife. Yeah. So I would have told myself to just hang in there, because I do think that had I just worked with them, maybe, you know, figured out on my own, like I ended up doing, I would have gotten back to healthy. I mean, honestly, if I just had my coach coach me, because that coaching was horrible there. I think had I just done that and not gone out and partying, and I would have given myself the advice of just keep your head down, do the work. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the best. But I don't regret it. I enjoyed my college still.
Definitely. Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, there's always like you look back, there's always things you're like, oh, I should have done that differently. But then at the same time, it's like you got to where you are now because you learned those lessons along the way too. So there, it's kind of like a little bit of both of those sides.
Yeah. And I don't think I'd be here today had I had my successful college running career that I was having my freshman year. I don't think I'd be running today.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, don't want to steal any more of your time. I know you're a very busy person. So how about we got to close out though. You plug your different places to go. Where should people find you?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram, gogo.powers. That's in there. There's links for the other stuff. I have another Instagram. It's xmalibubarbiex. That's my OnlyFans at Barbie Roberts. So yeah, you can check those out. I have the links there. And I mean, I don't know if you guys want me to give my OnlyFans link. So
go for it. Yeah, go for it. We'll put it in the description too. Like I said, this podcast is no rules. People listen to us because we're not like other running podcasts. We don't have rules.
I love that. Love it. So my OnlyFans is onlyfans.com/xmalibubarbiex. So you guys can find me there, and you know, it's a fun time.
Awesome. Well, honestly, there was listening to those couple podcasts that you did a couple of years ago. But I was not expecting us to get into all, like, you've done so much since that time that you did the podcast as well. Yeah. So it's been fun to unpack all of it, and just, yeah, we might have to do a follow-up at some point, because I think I could just keep going on and on and on, but we won't take any more of your time today.
Yeah, no, I'd love to come back. There's always something new happening. That's why I'm always on the go.
Yeah, I was gonna say you'll have two or three more companies by the time we talk to you next time. So we'll have to learn about those next.
there are. So I do have some. Oh gosh. Thank you guys so much. I appreciated jumping on here and you guys letting me just be me and talk
about. Of course. No, pleasure's all of us.
Thank you guys.
All right, Chris has his beer. There we go. We're back.
And there's Ashley Powers. I got my beer. We're in the outro.
It's always, I feel like our criteria for finding a good podcast interview has changed so much since we started.
Yeah. No.
I don't know. Hopefully that hit differently. I always get excited when we get to interview and just hang out with people who aren't your stereotypical like pro runner.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. It's fine if you're a pro runner. It's just, it's fun to talk about some other things too.
Yeah, just keep things fresh.
Keep things fresh. Yeah. Wow, there's some background noise. You hear that background noise? I don't know if anyone can hear it. Maybe you can't even hear it on these microphones, but holy moly. I think there's a Chris's dying banshee upstairs.
Chris's daughter is not happy.
she is not happy right now. Well, let's. Have we ever rated this on the pod? I think we've drank Two Brothers, Prairie on Path, a couple Gold episodes. Nail on the pod.
Yeah.
But let's just rate it again just because the people need to know. Two Brothers out of Warrenville, Illinois, right here next to Naperville where we're recording this right now. 5.1% ABV and the official beer of the Beer Mile World Championships 2023. What do we think?
Taste, I would probably give it... I'm going to try and be really fair and not biased. I would give it, in terms of taste, I'd give it an 8.
Okay.
Drinkability, nothing in recent memory is better, but maybe I'd give it.
Have you been having Busch Lights lately?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is at least like.
But like if I'm going out, I'll get like a nice beer for the first like three.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'd give it like
this is more drinkable than that.
So I'd give it like a 9.5.
Yeah.
For drinkability. X Factor, obviously, it's the fucking world. It's the
X Factor.
We've never had like World Classic in general has never had an official beer.
No,
there never. Were talks at one point with never. Like Budweiser, but yeah. You know, but fuck them, fuck you, Budweiser, suck my dick. Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah, fuck them.
All right, cool, fuck them.
We'll unfuck them if they want to come talk.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
us.
For next year.
That's
maybe.
The thing. If we say fuck, like you know, fuck Gooder until they want to come get unfucked. Like we're willing to unfuck people.
Yeah,
you know,
it'll just cost you.
But until you open up the wallet,
until
you're fucked.
Until you right your wrongs, you know, yeah, you gotta you gotta repent for your sins.
Man, I don't have any differences of opinion on the financials of this beer.
X Factor also is that it is gluten free.
Yeah, I didn't know it was, but you know, added bonus, right? It's probably like better for your gut or something.
Or something.
Yeah, this is good stuff. I actually went to the Two Brothers Tap House last night.
Oh, you tied one on.
I had a good time. They have an amazing Belgian triple.
I've had
people say triple.
I don't know if people say triple.
I don't
but
know. But there it's like 9.4%. It tastes so good.
Dude, it rocked me because it's good tasting, and you're just like, could you imagine if we did a beer mile with that? You'd be blackout.
I mean, that's like a 7 to 8 drinkability, but it's 9.4%. You're like, oh.
That's like, I would put that up there with like a Delirium Tremens in terms of how fast it goes down and how fucked up you'll
get. Exactly.
Great beer.
Well, anything else we need to leave the listeners with? If you want to support us. I heard this on another podcast. I kind of like it. I'm going to steal it.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, steal it.
So our podcast is free to you, the listener, but it's actually not free. We are working for you.
Technically. We're slaves.
And so... In exchange for us working for you, the way that you pay us is through the gentleman's agreement. And the gentleman's agreement is you need to go, and it's a gentleman's agreement because we cannot spy on you and make sure you're doing it.
Well,
but you need to go to YouTube right now and click the subscribe button, and you need to go to Spotify and Apple and click the subscribe button right now.
Yeah,
and that's the gentleman's agreement.
Leave a rating review. Those actually really help.
Yeah, this content is not free.
Plus, we just like hearing what you guys and gals have to say. Like
that too. We just know, we I don't know what people are thinking. All I know is when you see the numbers of people listening, you're like, hopefully they liked it.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought it sucked.
I kind of wish
we don't even know.
I kind of wish Spotify had a way for them to like submit feedback,
just in general,
outside of ratings, be like, oh, I liked this episode. I didn't like this episode.
Yeah. I don't know. That would be nice if you could. Yeah, if each episode could have a thumbs up too.
Yeah.
Or something.
I mean, basically.
I mean, not that YouTube. I want to make podcasting social media, you know, likes and shit, but like.
Well, it's just directional for us.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Or fuck them and we'll just do what we want. You know? I don't know.
I mean, actually, it's almost better to not get feedback. You just do what you want. And like, I don't know. Hopefully people keep coming back. You know,
true.
Our number isn't at zero. So it's.
Hopefully
it's
not.
Decent. At least we're doing something, right? I guess
keep on keeping on.
Yeah, keep on keeping on. Stay true, drink a brew. Go pick up some Two Brothers. It's not in every state in the U.S., but if you have it in your state, go get it. Support.
And if you can't find it in your state, well, then I guess you got to come to fucking Chicago.
That's right. You got to come to Worlds on July 1st. Beermile.com/Worlds. Go in there and look at shit and see how awesome it's going to be. And if you can't be here, man, I feel bad for you.
I guess we'll drop a lot of money on a live stream. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you can watch it remotely, but you know,
God, how many collective hours have we spent on Worlds? It's kind of depressing to think about.
A lot. Yeah. It's not, you know, if we do happen to turn a profit on this event, your hourly rate is like probably going to be like 10 cents
lower than, oh yeah. Yeah. Like it's, yeah. It's
and then not, the government's going to take 40%.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out.
Life
Uncle
is
Sam.
Depressing.
Shout out Uncle Sam. But hey, we're having fun.
We're having fun. All right. Tinny says bye.
Bye.